Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see everybody. Man, what a great crowd this morning, and our kids are with us. How exciting. All right, kids. You ready to make some noise? Huh? When I count to three, give me a big shout, all right? Scream your lungs out. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, wow. Wow. I guess I could have never made it as a kids pastor. I just didn't even get the kids motivated. Let's try that again. On the count of three, kids, I want you to scream. You're allowed to scream in church this morning. Ready? One, two, three. All right, that nice high-pitched squeal. All right. Hey, it's great to have our kids with us this morning. And yeah, we're glad you're here too, adults. But this is going to be an interesting service, at least for the next couple weeks. We're looking to ramp back up into our children's ministries in July. And the reason we haven't just jumped right in, obviously, is, we're dealing with, there's some folks that have been on our teams that still aren't back yet. And so we're just trying to figure out, it's kind of a restart. Most churches are going through that, just of restarting things. And so we appreciate your understanding. And I'm going to try to make it really interesting and really engage your kids. So hopefully they'll remember some things and you can talk about it together. And they also have their kids program on the phones if you wanted to, of course, hopefully they have headphones because I can't compete with the phone. But they can log in and be a part of that. But we're in this series of messages in Route 66, we call it. And we call it Route 66 because of the highway, the old highway, Route 66, but there are 66 books in the Bible. And so what we try to do every summer is go through a book of the Bible and just walk through that book and just discover the powerful truths in God's Word for our lives and to put them into practice. One of our core values is believing. And so this morning, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is going to do something in your life. There is information, there is truth that is going to be communicated. And if you will grab a hold of it and you will embrace it, I believe it'll transform your life. See, what we believe affects the way we behave. And so We're gonna encounter the truth this morning from God's word. We started 2 weeks ago in the first chapter of the book of Romans, and so we're in this book, Romans, which was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written while Paul was living in Corinth, and he wrote it to the church in Rome. Paul didn't start the church in Rome, but he was writing to this church that was probably started by early believers, maybe even on the day of Pentecost as they went back to Rome. And so he's writing to this church, this influential church in Rome. And the book of Romans, if you've never read through the book of Romans, you need to take some time and do it. While we're doing this series, what a great time to do it. But we'll walk through some of it. We're not going to go through every verse, of course, in the book of Romans. But the book of Romans is really like the Constitution is to the United States. The book of Romans is really to Christianity. It is such a centerpiece. The doctrine and the information that's there is of such importance for us. And so take some time. Read it. This morning, we're going to dive into it. But in the first chapter of Romans, we talked about already the last 2 weeks, we talked about why Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, and then we talked about the gospel. You know, we talked about how the gospel is so important. The good news of Jesus Christ, it saves us, it changes us, it transforms us. And so we're going to go into a little bit deeper now into the rest of chapter 1. But there's a thing that we have around our house, And as our kids were growing up, and it's really not just when they were little, but it's even today. Like when my kids as adults, if they get a little sideways on me, you know, I say, what's your problem? Does anybody else say that? What's your problem? Right? You ever ask your kids that? Kids, you ever ask your parents that? Don't do it. If you enjoy life. What's your problem? And so we would ask our kids, what's your problem? I ask people that sometimes, what's your problem? You know, because when you see somebody sideways and you see somebody just something going on, man, what's your problem? And maybe we don't know how to articulate what our problem is. And we might say, you're my problem, right? Have you ever done that? Don't ask your spouse because that may be the answer you get back. Yeah, you're my problem. But what's our problem, right? We all have problems. You know, when you look at our world today, if you ask that question, which I'm sure we all have in the last couple months, we say, man, what is our problem? What's going on? What's going on in our country? What is our problem? It depends on who you ask. You get all kinds of answers, right? I mean, I've heard all kinds of answers. You know, it's the, if we would put prayer back in school, it's when they took prayer out of the school. That was our problem. You know? It's, you know, the list is a mile long of what could be the problem. But Paul dives into what the problem is in our world. Not just in the city of Rome, not just in the church in Rome, but he dives in quickly in Romans chapter 18, and he talks about what the problem is. And we're going to look at what our problem is. So this morning, the title of the sermon is, what's your problem? What's your problem? Paul addresses it. He gives us the answers to what our problem is and what we need to do about it. All right? Now, I don't know how you are when you read books or magazines, mainly magazines, not so much books, but for me, when I get a magazine, I don't know why. Maybe it's because of my brain and it's a little twisted, but I always start on the back of the magazine and I kind of work my way to the front. Does anybody else do that? All right, a few of us are twisted. I don't know why we do that. I always do it, you know? So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start with number 5 and we're going to work our way to number 1. So we're going to go backwards in Scripture. We're going to go backwards with points. And this is, I don't usually have like 5 points, but there are 5 different reasons the Apostle Paul lists for what's your problem, right? So let's look at it. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. He really starts out saying in verse 18, let me jump down and read it. I don't know if they've got it on the screen, but it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So he sets the tone real quickly, right after he's talking about the gospel, and he's saying, you know, there's stuff going on. People are suppressing the truth. God's wrath is being revealed. And so starting from number 5, Paul begins to list those different reasons. So let's jump to the very end of that passage of Scripture in verse 32. The first reason, or number 5 reason of what's our problem, is that people celebrate evil. Verse 32, it says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So one of the reasons, and number 5 reason of why or what's our problem, is that people celebrate evil. If I did a search on Google and I searched pure evil. If you search pure evil, you'll find all kinds of things. People are, they're glad to name their stuff pure evil, whether it's a product, whether it's art studios, music, movies, whatever. But there's like this like, you know, like we're very proud to announce that we are pure evil. See, what's wrong with our world, what's wrong with us is that we celebrate evil. We're jacked up. And we celebrate it. I mean, we people celebrate it with us. And so Paul's saying to the church in Rome, he's saying to us as believers, listen, your problem is that you celebrate evil. It's not just a matter of it being there and you just kind of ignoring it, passing by it. We celebrate it. Man, we make movies about it. We write songs about it. We take our stand, and I mean, we declare, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. We celebrate evil. It's part of the problem. Number four thing, as we're moving backwards through Scripture. So verse 32 is people celebrate evil. Number four, people do evil things. Not only do we celebrate evil, but we do evil things. Verse 29 through 31, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Now, so far, looking at that list, I'm like, hey, my name doesn't show up there, right? Don't you like lists, like sin lists where you don't show up? Where you can't identify, you're like, wow, I feel good about myself. I can't identify with that. But then he goes on to say, gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Whoa, what did he just say? They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Listen, Paul's saying, if you think you're out of the list, if you think that you're exempt from it, I'm going to cover everything. You're in there. Part of our problem is not only do we celebrate evil, not only do we just kind of wink at it or let it go or even support it at times, but we do evil. We do evil. Why do people do things that are destructive? Why do people do things that could potentially and most likely hurt others? We do evil. There's something that's in our heart that we're bent towards doing evil. So not only do we celebrate evil, we do evil. People celebrate evil, people do evil. The third thing in Paul's list as he's working backwards in verse 28 is, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. So people celebrate evil, they do evil, but why would they do something that would potentially be destructive and most likely be destructive? Why do you and I do things that could hurt the people around us, that could hurt ourselves, that could drive us away from God? Why do we do that? Because people's minds don't work. That's what Paul says in verse 28. Our minds don't work. See, sin doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you wiser. It doesn't make you necessarily more experienced and with a good bent toward it, but it dumbs us down. Sin makes us dumber. And Paul's saying, listen, not only do they celebrate evil and they do evil, but their minds aren't working. You ever tried to help somebody who was locked into a pattern of destructive behavior? Think about it. maybe it's just because that's kind of what I do as a pastor, and maybe you've had family members, and maybe you've had a friend that was in an abusive relationship, and you're just like, what are you thinking? This is destructive. Or maybe there was an addiction in their life, and you're like, what in the world are you? Can't you see? You have lost everything, and you're on the road to total destruction. People's minds don't work when they're on sin. See, our minds are not working. Paul said that's our problem. We celebrate evil. We do evil. Our minds aren't working. And then the second thing, verse 24 through 27. Why don't our minds work the way they should? Because God's judging people. Therefore, God gave them over, verse 24. He gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. People's minds don't work because God is judging people. See, God judges us by releasing us to the consequences of our sin. He asks us, you know, basically, is this what you want? Do you really want this? Because if you really want this, I'm going to give you over to it. And he does. I mean, when we get so bent on something and we're like, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, just like when we were kids and just like maybe we see our kids do, and we're like, no, I got to have that. I want that. And I will dig my heels in and I will pitch a fit. I want it. I want it. I want it. And as a parent, you watch and you say, what are you thinking? And at some point you just say, do you really want to taste a little bit of that? You want that so bad? And God says, if that's what you want, if you really, really want it, and you're determined, this is what, then he gives us over to that. And when he gives you over, you experience the full-blown consequence of what happens. And see, what happens is that we become further and further away from God. He doesn't want us to be further and further away from him, but that's what we're pushing for. And he says, you're going to mess everything up. You're going to mess it up. But we're bent on it. See, the reason our minds don't work is because God is giving us over to the consequences of our sin. He's not being arbitrarily mean to us. It doesn't start with judgment, but there's something at the top. See, God just doesn't just step on the scene and judge us. There's something at the very top. There's a number one reason. There's a number one point of what's our problem. Verse 18 through 23. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. If you want to know what stands as the foundation of your problem and my problem and the problem of our world, it's idolatry. Idolatry. Now that's not an ancient problem, because most of us would say, I don't think I'm an idolater. I don't have any little statues at my house. I don't worship any images. That's something that was more of an ancient problem, or maybe some group of people that live way out in the middle of nowhere and kind of aren't in touch with what's going on in the world today. It's not an ancient problem. It's a modern problem. See, we've looked at this all-knowing, all-loving God. A God full of mercy and grace, a God who has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He's the creator of all things. He formed us, he knit us together in our mother's wombs. We look at him and we say, you know what? I'd rather do this myself. I would rather exchange what you have for me, your plans for me, your grace for me, your love. I would rather exchange that to do it on my own. I want to do it myself. See, idolatry breeds immorality. We live in a world where evil is celebrated. Why? Because people do evil. Why? Because people's minds don't work. Why? Because God is judging people. Why? Because people replaced God. See, our problem, your problem, my problem, is that we are bent toward idolatry. We're bent toward it. It's like, you know, when you go to Walmart, and I don't know why, I think Walmart does this on purpose, but every cart at Walmart seems to have that bent wheel. You've had that cart too. And it squeaks. And you have to like manhandle the stinking thing, and then you got to load it down with 100 pounds of groceries and whatever, you know, and you're like. But it's like that cart at Walmart. We're bent towards idolatry. There's something in our hearts. There's something that keeps us pushing us in that direction. See, our problem is worship. And our solution is worship. Let me say it again. I want to sink in because it really is important. Our problem is worship, and our solution is worship. I mean, we can say, you know, oh no, the problem with our, you know, our world is, you know, we didn't get prayer back in school. I believe in prayer. We can go through. We can just say all these. You know, here's the solution to our problem. Listen, our problem is much deeper than that. Our problem is worship. Now, for the person who may feel like, you know, hey, church isn't much of my thing, you know, I'm not talking about church. Our problem is worship. See, if I don't worship God, I will worship anything. That is the problem. And what's happened is we are worshiping anything. Please don't reduce what I'm saying about worship to a song. And I know that we refer to music and we refer to the time in Sunday morning service, and I'm not suggesting that we change our terminology necessarily, but I'm saying we deepen our understanding of what worship is. Yeah. Right. That worship isn't a song. Yeah. Because you can sing a song and still not worship God. You can sing it and you can feel it and you can mean it and still not worship God. See, worship is a posture of your heart. It's where your heart is and it's what your heart is bent towards. Are you that squeaky Walmart cart wheel that just, you know, keeps going in one direction and the wrong direction it seems like? See, the problem with our world, the problem with us, if we could be honest this morning, is our worship. And it has a ripple effect that if we will get our worship right, all of those other things take care of themselves. And Paul addresses that. He hits it head on. I mean, he hits it hard. He goes in fast and hard in Romans chapter 1. He's like, he barely gives the Roman church a chance to you know, like, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and wham, here's your problem. Here's how we fix it. This is our problem, and this is how we fix it. If we address worship, the posture of our heart, see, idolatry is when you give something that you should give to God, you give it to something else. Let me say it again. Idolatry is when you give something that you should give to God to something else. You start to really dive into idolatry and you start to understand it that, man, It's when you allow anyone or anything, and here's the problem, it's usually good things. When you allow anyone or anything to take what should be the rightful place of God in your life. I know that may sound really radical for some people, like, man, this whole Christianity thing's really radical. This is about worship. If you want to fix the problem in your own heart, your own life, if you want to see our community fixed, we've got to address the problem. The problem is worship. The problem is what we give ourselves to. The things that belong to God, we end up giving them to other things, sometimes even good things. We don't give God the priority. We give him the leftovers. He's not going to be cool with the leftovers. He'll never be cool with the leftovers. He'll never say, all right, I just love you so much and you're so cute, I'll let you, just give me the leftovers, right? He's like, no, I'm going to be first. I'm going to be first. Think, wow, man, how could God say that? Because he's the one that breathed you into existence. He's the one that created all this, and he sustains all this. And, you know, we're like a little blip on the screen, but yet he loves us so much that he's willing to send his son. He didn't just create us, he also redeemed us. And he has purpose for our lives. See, our problems worship and our solutions worship. Don't reduce your worship to a song. Don't reduce it to an act. But make sure your heart is in the right place. It's in the right position. That it's bent in the right direction. See, when we get our worship right, then everything else is right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? This morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to get our worship right. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song together. We're going to worship the Lord together with a song. But I want us to get our worship right. I want us to get our heart in the right posture, our heart in the right place. See, idolatry is... it's about giving what belongs to God to something else. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is in your worship. I do know what it is for me. I do know what I need to get in right order. I do know what I need to quit giving to other things. But I don't know what's in your life. It's such a subtle thing. It's so subtle. It's scary. Because sometimes you just wake, sometimes I just kind of like wake up and I'm like, wow, I've allowed my heart to drift in this area. I'm not talking about, you know, crazy, insane, you know, nasty sin. I'm just talking about just allowing my heart to drift a little, and, you know, and it just happens so subtle, because many times, most of the times, it's good stuff. It's just not the best stuff. It's not the right stuff. Can we this morning get our worship right? Can we do that together? Can we spend a moment and just allow the Lord to search our hearts and to just shine his light into our hearts? What is it? What is it that belongs to the Lord, but it's going somewhere else? Maybe it's the first part of your day or the last part of your day. Maybe it's your Sundays. Maybe it's the tithe. Maybe it's your willingness to serve others. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Can we pray? Father, we want to get our worship right. Lord, this morning we're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry to just get out of here. We don't want to put anything before you. We don't want anything to take your place. Would you search our hearts? Would you search our hearts, oh God? We want to worship you today as not just our Savior, but our Lord. Somebody's here this morning and they're feeling guilt and they're feeling shame and they're feeling like they can't approach God. Listen, that is the devil. That's a lie. That is a lie. Don't give in to that. The enemy wants to keep you from the Father. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. Lord, we surrender to you. We give you our heart. We call you Lord. And we worship you. We worship you with everything, with our lives, with our schedules, with our stuff, with our families, with our jobs, with the talents and abilities that you've given us. We worship you.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.